Armenia Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury, and I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And in this pre-Christmas time, where it's rush, and it's getting hotter, and there's always last-minute things cropping up, it's very hard to have the usual complement of guests coming into the studio. So today's program, I'm going to talk about my recent experiences within the senior community, just the things that have been discussed and aired. And obviously health is top of the list, and it's still top of the list of concerns of New Zealanders and polls. And when we look at the health system, various people have been asked to speak recently at various meetings that I've attended. One in particular was Dr. Judy McGregor, who is a former chief executive of the Waitemata District Health Board, and is a well-known journalist with a strong career, also a trained lawyer, and has done a lot of research into women's pay and conditions, and been funded by the Law Society to do some of that work. She's also a emeritus professor of AUT, and has continued to take up various issues. At the moment, she's currently focused on the problems in the health system for the future of active ageing and well-being of seniors. And in her presentation, she focused on bed blocking as a major issue. And I noticed that Danny McLaughlin has also highlighted that in one recent listener article, where he's gone into quite an in-depth analysis of various people's views of the health system. Bed blocking is where people are taking up beds in the hospital where they're not strictly needing to be in hospital. They are not really sick, they just need caregiving, and that isn't available in the community. So there's a lack of beds in the community, a lack of care workers, and this is really causing this problem of people taking up beds in the hospital. And before you say, well, it doesn't happen very often, actually it happens far more often than it should, and for quite lengthy periods. I've been surprised in situations where I've noted that somebody's parents have been, one parent has been kept in for up to 4 months before a bed was found in the community. A case where it was mild dementia, but the woman wasn't strictly ill and she wasn't needing that hospital bed in a practical sense. It was just that there was nowhere to go. And this, of course, has impacts on A&E, where there's a shortage of beds often to deal with acute emergencies, people being seen in corridors and so on. And this comes about where the speed blocking is creating bottlenecks in wards. When people come into A&E, they actually usually get triaged and often they're moved on quite quickly into a ward environment. But if the ward and wards are suffering with this bed blocking issue, then it's very difficult to do that. And of course it compounds in winter time when flu cases come in and hospitals are full. Now, Dr. Judy McGregor, in outlining this issue, said that it was wonderful to see that the Aged Care Association Chief Executive Tracy Martin was actively campaigning towards trying to get change about the bed situation, but noted that that's only a part of the problem, that the government appears to be looking into the question of funding of beds in the future. There is some movement happening. We're not clear exactly how it's going to pan out, but it's good that it's actually at the discussion level and it's on the table. What's not so good, Judy McGregor was saying, is that the pay and condition of workers has been deteriorating, and that we're in 10 years ago we were working very hard to uplift the pay and conditions for women working in caregiving roles in the community and in hospitals, trying to get the living wage into a hospital environment and into retirement villages, actually, because I was part of that movement when I was president of Auckland Grey Power, and I worked closely with Dr. Judy McGregor at that time to raise awareness of these issues. But the pay and conditions have deteriorated, and now it's back to the minimum wage situation in hospitals, and it's actually and in many retirement village situations. But there is an acute shortage of these workers, and of course many who come in to these positions are migrants. They're desperate for work, and they work hard and get some basic qualifications to deliver health care. And then, of course, they're very employable, and so they take off to Australia or America. And this is really a sort of recycling situation where we're not really benefiting long term, because we're not getting the benefit of their training. And our conditions are just not competitive enough. So just as we're losing nurses and policemen, we're also losing aged care workers. And so this is an issue that really needs to be part of any long-term planning that's going on in this sector. So another issue, though, that Danny McLaughlin produced in his article was the importance of upgrading our digital health system. Because we're going more digital in more environments, because AI will be used more, we need desperately to have systems that are unified, that talk to each other well, and where data is integrated. And that's a major problem in New Zealand, where we had I forget the exact number of separate databases, but it was quite colossal. It was much more than the aggregate sum of the district health boards in New Zealand. It was way more than that, because every team in a clinical hospital environment may have a separate database. And I'll give you just one example. Now, recently I had to go to hospital for three procedures, and I was actually being looked at by three different teams. And what I found was, in my preparation time, I was phoned by nurses from two teams who asked me almost the same questions. And they were particularly interested in my alcohol intake, which nobody had been interested when I had these procedures done 2 years ago, but this is now suddenly a red flag they're looking at. But what was really quite surprising was my doctor had written a letter about mid-October, actually suggesting that she'd done an examination and she wanted what she had noted to be considered as relevant for them to proceed with during the procedure, actually to focus on, and maybe it was necessary to remove some things. So she was quite detailed and specific in her recommendations. However, the two teams that had phoned me for data and for questions to be answered knew nothing about her letter. They had no evidence of the letter being written. And when I kept questioning and probing and asking more. And eventually, they did some research and they found that the third team actually had the letter. And that was because they had more responsibility over any intervention in that particular problem. And it wasn't so relevant to the other two teams. I could understand that. But the fact that none of these teams talk to each other, they don't share data. And so if one receives something in the way of a specific communication from a GP that's relevant, the others won't know. And I thought, how absurd. This is really crazy. We just create problems and they could have very dire consequences. Fortunately, they weren't. But, it just was a classic example. I'm not talking in specifics here. I'm just sort of outlining this is a system problem. And I said to the person phoning me, I said, well, it isn't your fault. You know, this is a system, has a glitch that really gets in the road of good care. So going back to Judy's presentation, one of the ways that she made the presentation really interesting was she talked about her career over the span of being a journalist, becoming a newspaper editor, and then going on to do research into aged care and so on, and becoming a professor, looking at systems, looking at laws, looking at pay and conditions and so on. She described how her first big wake-up call about the differences between men and women and how they were paid for the same kind of work was when she got together with her husband. She discovered that he, as a newspaper editor with a staff of 45, was being paid more than she, who had a staff of 200, and she was an editor of a city region-wide newspaper where her husband's paper was a regional rural paper. And it was quite enlightening to her to discover exactly the difference. It was quite something. And this is why she was so motivated to do something, I guess, from that perspective. She wanted to see that women had a fair go and were not being disadvantaged when they were doing the same work. And that's still the case where we're looking at trying to get equal pay through various means. And of course, this government has outlawed certain legal cases that were going to come before the courts, and it looks like we're going backwards at the moment. It's a very fraught time. Judy did say that one of the things that kept her focus balanced and positive when she was the chief executive of the District Health Board here in Waitemata was because she had a system of reviewing a sampling of the positive letters that came in as well as the letters of complaint, and taking a 10% cut of each pile on a weekly basis, she would have a good overall barometer of how things were going. And what she noticed was that the positives outweighed the negatives, and that by and large, 90% of the people or more were really satisfied with, more than satisfied with their care. They were really bowled over by the excellence of the staff and the way they were treated. And in some cases, the letters of complaint were a chapter of incidences of things just multiply going wrong. They could have happened to anybody, but they just happened to have happened to the person that was writing in. It's not to excuse any of these things happen, but I think what she said was we have a really good system that at rock bottom we have people who are passionate, people who care, and people are perceptive. They are observant, and through their perceptions and observations and sharing these, lots of things get picked up, and people are in fact in good hands. And I'd have to say that my experience recently bears this out. And I'm also very relieved that one person who has given a lot of support to this program behind the scenes has been waiting for 4 years to get a knee replacement. And one of the difficulties for her was that when she was having a hip replacement operation, she fell in the hospital and cracked her pelvis. And that delayed the knee operation even further. But the delays had started with COVID. And she'd been on waiting lists and been transferred, and then got back onto the waiting list and then dropped off and then came back on. And last week she was told at her follow-up to the knee op, she was actually invited to comment on whether she would like to have the other knee done. And she said, oh yes, please, I don't mind the pain, the relief of being able to stop taking painkillers, as I've had to rely on over the last 4 years, is just phenomenal. So she's now on an urgent list for the second knee op. And so that's a negative story, but it's actually something positive in the sense that getting into the system and getting picked up and getting followed through, she's actually getting a lot of attention now for some other things as well, and they're really onto it and they're really wanting to do something. And I just feel like sometimes it's very easy to, we hear negative stories and it's very easy to feel discouraged about these situations, but we do have some excellent staff in health, and what we do need to do is we need to support the movement of people who are trying to improve the pay and conditions of the aged care workers. And I hope to see more from Grey Power and other seniors organisations in the light of the discussions that people like Dr. Judy McGreer have created in the community. Now, today I thought it was a good time to have a bit of a chat about Christmas gifts and how you were handling the pressures of buying or not buying, or creating or sharing things of your own making. And lots of people are creative and can enjoy their creativity, and when they know that they're doing it for a special friend or family member, it just adds to the satisfaction. And we're all quite skilled at something or other, so it's amazing what you can create and what you can do when you put your mind to it. And I think really thinking about what would be something that would make a difference for somebody is a really good starting point. It's a really good way, putting yourself in their shoes and thinking, what would I really want to do for this person at this time? And it might be a particular thing like taking them somewhere to enjoy something that they wouldn't otherwise get to see or enjoy. Or it might be shouting them a voucher. Or it might be finding them an appropriate book to add to their collection. And I think books are always wonderful gifts because they keep on giving. I mean, you can keep dipping into them. You can reread them. You can gift them on to someone else. They're just wonderful things. And I'm very excited to hear that booksellers have been doing well and they've noticed an improvement in their percentage of sales in the last 6 months. And in particular, we've got some very exciting books in the top five sellers at the moment. We've got Catherine Chidgley's book about guilt. That novel was top of the pops 6 months ago. It's still in the top five of books being sold in New Zealand. Jacinda Ardern's new book, Out on Leadership, is actually doing extraordinarily well, and it's also in the top five. But one book that I'd like to mention, it's not in the top five, but it's a book by Ian Pape, and he's a Jewish writer, well-known journalist and researcher, does high-quality historical research. He's written a book, Ethnic Cleansing of the Palestinians, which has been out for 20 years, but it's had lots of reprints. It's an excellent book. But his latest book, that's just come out this year, is about the future of Israel. And it's a very topical book, and it's very well written. I've only dipped into it as yet, but it's a book that I am gifting to discerning friends who are very interested at this time in the future of the Middle East and how it's impacting on world politics, and what is the scope for Israel to come back from what it's created in the situation that it's handled in Gaza and the way it's handled it. So that book is really worthwhile looking out for. There are many ways in which we can support independent bookstores, and they keep writing and writers alive. They are the lifeline, and so purchasing from them, I'm thinking of Time Out in Mount Eden, I'm thinking of Book Lovers in Milford, I'm thinking of the Woman's Bookshop in Ponsonby Road. They're just three that spring to mind, but they are truly the home of great writing and of top quality New Zealand authors, and they really support the writing communities in so many ways. I'm actually finding also that it's wonderful to be on their email lists and get 10% discount when I'm buying books from their shops and make sure I'm well informed about what's coming out. So that's a way to keep yourself up to date and in touch with what's new out there. Now, with Christmas comes inevitable clean-up, the waste, the gift wrap papers, the leftover food, the wonderful decorations. What do you do with all of these things, and how do you cope with this? It's so important to actually have a plan to be able to be effective in dealing with the waste rather than it all going to the tip in the landfill. There are many, many options, and I would just ask you to work out your plan. Just make sure you put some energy into considering how you're going to deal with these matters rather than just at the last minute shoving it all in one rubbish bag. It's just something that can add benefits to the planet. Think of it as your Christmas gift to the planet. How you're going to deal with the waste that's created by Christmas. And in terms of next year, 2026, it's not far away, we're looking at expanding what we're doing in taking care of the planet, in two ways. One, looking into environmental and sustainability topics more. And the other way is in paying attention to the work of peace. Peace is not just an absence of war, but peace is something that can be created through quality relationships, through just minding one's own use of language and words, and just being a little bit careful about how you put something across. It's possible to make an I statement and own what's bugging you, but you often find people leak their resentment out by making a you statement, where they're actually describing somebody in a negative way and giving them feedback. But it isn't productive. It doesn't create peace. And it doesn't lead to any change or anything positive. It just simply breeds more resentment on both sides of the fence. So this is a time around Christmas when people can get a little bit carried away and say things that they may regret, even with the impact of alcohol as well. It can be even worse. I just caution you to think about committing to improving the work of peace in the world by improving relationships close at hand first. And that's what we'll be focusing on in the next year. So enjoy your Christmas, and we're on air every week, just the same right through the holidays. Thanks for listening.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.
On air, online, on demand, in your language. Planet FM on planetaudio.org.nz. Have you got something happening in the arts, entertainment or event world? Then Kick Arts would love to chat about it. Email us at info@kickarts.org.nz. Kick Arts, Aotearoa's one-stop shop for all things art, entertainment, theatre, events, books and more. Join us as we chat with fabulous guests, mixed with great Kiwi music and lots of laughs. Kick Arts, every Sunday 8 p.m. here at Planet FM.
We can become one of those rapidly growing groups who have the audacity and courage to believe that we actually can change the world.
Technology, entertainment, design, and much more. TED Talks brings you inspiring presentations from speakers across the world. Hear activists, experts and thought leaders sharing their ideas and stories. Wednesdays at 2:10 p.m, only live and only on Planet FM.
Beaches.
I love Biffles, taking the dog out for a nails.
Sparkling waters.
The harbour is absolutely amazing.
Green city.
I think is evergreen.
Different cultures.
The many languages, the enrichment through all the different cultures, faiths.
Auckland is very multicultural.
It's home, and something's always happening.
It's home. Loving Auckland, our diverse city. planetaudio.org.nz.
Senior Focus returns next Sunday at the same time of 5:25 p.m. Call Planet FM 104.6 tēnei, Te Reo Hapori o Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland's community access radio station. On the fourth Sunday of each month at 6 p.m, you can tune in to the Wise Women of IQ Talanoa with their monthly program. Tonight, though, we have a selection of local music, old and new, to take you through till 7:10, when Albert joins us for Vinyl Revival.
your business.